This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 25th, 2018, the second Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Now I know that you fear God. For the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost. The fear of the Lord, as we learn from both testaments, is the beginning of wisdom. It is a fear of the Lord. It is not just a respect. It is an appreciation of who God is and what we owe Him. We owe Him absolutely everything. Everything that we have has been given us by the giver of all gifts that we have. And He is going to test each and every one of us as far as our understanding of that goes. This is how He works. This is who God is. He tests us. He tempts us. The older English versions, that first reading today, it says, after these things, God tempted Abraham. Testing, temptation, it's synonymous. Every temptation is a trial. People frequently come into the confessional and they confess temptations. It's not a sin. I want to hear about that. I want to hear about it if you gave yourself over to it. I want to hear about it if you entertained the thoughts about that temptation. I want to hear about it if you talked to others about that temptation. I want to hear about it if you gave into that temptation. Those are sins, not the temptation. Temptation is a test. And if you didn't fall into it, not only is it not a sin, it is to your merit. Abraham was tested by God as to whether or not he appreciated who he was and what he had given him. This test is something that we cannot even get our heads around. For God to come to you and say, Abraham, sacrifice your only son. And he's leaving. We can't get our heads around that one. And God keeps turning the screws. Abraham, sacrifice your only son, your only begotten son, Isaac, whom you love. He emphasizes to Abraham what is being asked of him. Up to this point, God has been very faithful to the promises that he made to Abraham. You got to remember that story. I mean, it lays the foundation. Abraham's an old dude, all right? He's old, his wife's old, and she's barren. She's never had any kids. But God has told Abraham, I'm going to raise up seed from you that is going to exceed the stars of the sky, sand on the seashore. Years go by, no kids. Sarah is still barren. Well, here, let me help God out a little with this. This is between Sarah and Abraham. Let's help him out. He must mean that you're going to have my slave girl and you'll have children, and that's what he means. God means what he says, and he doesn't need our help. And this union between the slave girl and Abraham results in a son, whom Abraham loves, Ishmael. But then, God, no, that's not what I meant. I mean that Sarah's going to have a child. And then when Sarah, the barren woman, is 90 years old, and Abraham is 100, a child. With God, all things are possible. Well, there's a conflict between Hagar, the slave girl, and Sarah, and it culminates in them being sent off. So Abraham already has the devastation of losing a son whom he loves, Ishmael, but he's still got the one God promised him, Isaac. Thank you, God, for giving me all this good stuff. I got flocks, I've gotten rich, and I've got a son now. Thank you, God. Well, let's see how much you truly thank me about this. Abraham, sacrifice that son, your only begotten son, whom you love. Abraham doesn't debate with God. None of that. He doesn't go waltzing off to Sarah and go, oh, I can't believe what God's asked me to do. And Abraham gets up and early in the morning and he goes to do what God told him to do. Because Abraham fears him. He appreciates that he has been given a gift for an indefinite, but still a time that has a terminus. God wants the gift back, obviously. And Abraham goes to do what God says. And notice he's just not spontaneous about it. God says, go to the place that I'm going to show you. Not only is he asked to do this, he has to think about it for a while. It's not just enough, sacrifice your son. Oh, I can't believe I got to do that. I'm going to walk in his bedroom. I don't want to think about it. Boom, kill him. No. Walk, talk with him. Then give him back. Abraham does it. He comes so close. He raises the knife over his son. And the angel of the Lord calls to him and said, don't lay your hand on the boy. The bloodless sacrifice that Abraham made just of his motivation to do what God said was much more acceptable to God than if he had killed his son. The bloodless sacrifice was more acceptable. This is not a lesson about, well, what an awesome guy Abraham is. This is us. This is us at every Mass in which we celebrate the bloodless sacrifice of Calvary. The bloodless sacrifice of Calvary that every single time we come to celebrate Mass, we hear that our Mass will be accepted by God, not because we're all that awesome and we deserve to be accepted. We ask that it be accepted because of sacrifices in the past that we know that God has accepted. And one of those is the sacrifice of our patriarch Abraham. Why do we hear that in the Mass? Because we know that God accepted that sacrifice, that it was tremendously pleasing to him, that someone put themselves out and did truly fear him. But it's much more than that. This sacrifice that is articulated in that first reading today from so long ago speaks to us about Jesus Christ. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. Notice I didn't say Abraham was. Isaac was a type of Jesus Christ. Typology is theological for a foreshadow, something that pointed forward to. Isaac is a type of Christ. You got to pay attention to what you read, what you hear. Isaac carried the wood for his sacrifice. Who do we know that carried the wood for their own sacrifice? Our Lord Jesus Christ. To carry the wood for the sacrifice is a priestly function. Only priests do that. Isaac carrying the wood shows that he was both the victim of the sacrifice and the priest. Who fulfills completely and absolutely the victim-priest motif that our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac, as I said, was the type of Christ. Isaac was willing to die because his father asked him to. I always point out, when something is left out of the readings, half of a verse is left out of today's reading. It's the second half of verse 9. And that is, Abraham built an altar and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Remember what the age thing I talked about before is when Abraham was blessed by the birth of his son Isaac. He was 100 years old. When this is going on, Isaac is probably about 25 years old. There is no 25-year-old strapping young man who is going to let some 125-year-old old dude strap him up and run a knife through his chest and then burn him up. Isaac was a willing sacrifice. They had a discussion on the way there. Isaac, we got the wood, we got the fire. Where's the victim? What we know that Abraham said was, God will provide the victim. You think that's the only sentence that Abraham spoke to his son on the way there? They discussed this matter. And Isaac was good with getting bound and placed on an altar and placed on the wood to be sacrificed because God asked it. He was a willing victim. And then just like our Lord Jesus Christ, Isaac, the victim, was received back alive by his father, just as God our Father received back his son Jesus after the resurrection. That is why it's in the Mass. But this isn't a lesson, as I said, about how great a guy Abraham was, or a liturgical lesson and why we say that in the Mass. This is about us. Abraham was tested because he was a faithful son of God. He had been called by God, been blessed by God, and now prove to me that you understand how much I loved you, how much I've given you. Prove it by giving me back what I've given you. This is what we need to walk out of here today understanding. Do not for one moment think you are not going to be tested the way Abraham was. Do you have an advantage over him? Do you know that when something is asked of you, that it is a test to show your faithfulness? Abraham didn't have that luxury. He didn't enjoy that. That first reading today started out for us. After these things, God tested Abraham. It wouldn't have been a sacrifice worth anything if God had said, hey, Abraham, I'm going to give you a little test here. He would have had a heads up that it's a test. No, he was just told to do something, and he did it out of faithful obedience. The same thing is going to be expected of us. Nobody is going to ask you to kill a family member. Ain't going to happen. But you will be asked to give up family members, grandparents, parents, children. God, the giver of those gifts, is going to ask for them back. He doesn't even ask that you kill them. He just asks that you acquiesce to his will when he calls them back. That is a sacrifice, to acquiesce to the will of God when somebody you love so dearly is taken from you. You do not rage against God. You do not be belligerent. You just appreciate the fact that he gave you that person for however long, and then you acquiesce to his will. That's the sacrifice. Do you fear God? It just doesn't manifest itself in loss of loved ones. It can be manifest in the loss of the health that you have enjoyed for years, decades, and all of a sudden you get the bad call from the doctor, and all of a sudden the rug's pulled out from under you. If we, in faith and obedience, acquiesce to the will of God, as opposed to, oh, I can't believe this happened. Oh, take this from me. Oh, make me better. It should be, thank you for the years of health that I have had. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't ask to get better, but it means you need to have your priorities. That's a sacrifice. Sometimes, and this does have, particularly for parents, children. Abraham was asked to kill his son. You may be asked to let go and turn your children over to the world for the testing of their souls. That is a sacrifice. And if you love God and acquiesce to his will, you will let go. Does that mean you like it? Does that mean you will not shed tears? It just means you need to do it. It's the test. Do you fear God? Do you love him? Do you really mean every time you say the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and not what I want be done on earth, as I just know you want done in heaven because I'm great? That's the way most people say the Lord's Prayer. You will be tested, and you need to acquiesce because you owe him. He's given you all kinds of gifts. He's called you into his church. He blesses you with the sacraments, the sacramentals, prayer, his word, all the gifts that you have in this world. He's given you all those things, and he did kill his son for you. Abraham didn't kill his son. God, your father, did. He gave his only begotten son for you. He who did not spare his own son is going to ask you to prove in some inconsequential way. It's not inconsequential that I lost this person or that person. In the grand scheme of things, yes, it is. He's going to ask this of you. And you want to hear what Abraham heard. Now I know you fear God. You have not shaken your fist at me. You have not stopped going to Mass. You showed you love me. Now I know that you fear God. And just as Abraham, it will be accounted to you for righteousness. He who did not spare his own son. I can't deal with this. No, you probably can't in your own person. You can under the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it says, he who did not spare his own son, will he not also give us all things in him? Not only does he give you gifts, but they're his. He may ask for them back, but he will even help you out dealing with it. He will bless you with the grace of fear of him. He has opened our eyes to the love that we should have for him. He just asks that every now and then we prove it. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.